wait one second. Again, your name and your ADC number, sir.
Ryan Flanagan, 305052.
Thank you so very much. Sir, you're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for your 412A-411. You've been certified by the Department of Corrections, which is, that is, general parole or absolute discharge is what you have been certified for, although I believe that the board could do home arrest if it so desired. Sir, based on information that we have, that when I say we, the board, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, you're currently serving one sentence, and that is for fraudulent schemes, artifacts, and you received an 8-year sentence, and this particular sentence began on January 29, 2014. You will become parole eligible on January 29, 2018. That means that if this board decided to release you today, you would not be released until January 29, 2018, when you would become parole eligible. Just wanted to put that on the record. And according to information we have, your SED date is listed as January 28, 2022. So far, is that information correct as far as you know, sir?
Yes, sir.
And as you can see, there are four board members participating in your hearing today, and they are, to my right, that is the Honorable Ms. Gail Ringhouse, to my left, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, and to his left, the Honorable Mr. David Neal. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm serving as your panel chair today. According to information that I've gleaned, this is your first time coming before this board. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, welcome, and want you to feel comfortable and relax, and we will be asking you some questions, and you'll have an opportunity to explain what the situation was, is, and will be in the future. I do take note, sir, that you did submit to the board a progress report, and it shows that you are enrolled or completed the GED, and that shows this year. Have you completed the GED, sir?
No, sir. I'm still working on it.
You're still working on it. And back,
yes, sir.
And back in 2015, you took a program involving function literacy. Did you complete that one, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, we're glad to hear that. And I do take note that, and I just read this, that the inmate plan on being released to his residence with his wife, inmate plan on continuing with his previous employment career in the culinary field. Now, we don't show an address, maybe somewhere in the records, but we don't. Where does your wife live? Does she live in Arizona or Phoenix or where, sir?
Yes, sir. She was, actually, our address is Sun City.
Okay, yes, sir. And we show that you had no disciplinary violations while incarcerated with the Arizona Department of Corrections. Is that information still true, sir? Have you had any disciplines, any tickets at all?
Yes, sir.
So have you?
Yes, sir.
I know you haven't been in that long, but how have you gotten by without getting any tickets, sir? I said, how have you been successful in not having any tickets? You know, most.
I just do what I'm told.
Okay, so, sir.
Well, that's and I just stick to myself and, you know, do what I'm told and read the Bible, watch TV, go to school, and I have a job, so I do my job, so.
And speaking of your job, you indicated, you know, that if this board were to release you or when you are released, that you would go back into the food industry. So have you been involved in the culinary type work before, before you were incarcerated, sir?
Yes, sir. All my life I've done it, pretty much.
Yeah. Are you a chef or manager?
Yes, sir. I've always been a chef. I like working with my hands, and plus there's an artistic quality about being a chef, you know, so. And I've always liked art, so it was a good field.
Yes, sir. Now, I do show, and I'm going to be the first one to admit that I am a little confused because I'm not an expert in this field, but I'm going to make a few comments, and then I'm going to ask you to sum it up and tell me what actually happened. What I've gleaned just by going through the notes that in beginning in July 1989, you went to the Social Security office in Glendale, and you used some fictitious documents to obtain a Social Security card number, rather, for your son, which has been used since 1989, someone with a similar name, and you used their name and birth date and other information, and eventually driver's license was obtained, and you had a family, you paid taxes, but you did use that false information, therefore you had this Social Security. And then I'm going to skip around. It seems to me that eventually, or more recently, and I guess this would have been in around 2011, the officers came to your place of residence, your place of employment, and there was some inquiry about your Social Security number and what had happened there, and in January 30th of 2014, they searched your house, and they found a New Jersey records with the name of James Ray Anderson and several weapons. And following this investigation, you entered into a plea agreement, and that's why we find you incarcerated today, that you had spent some time in Florida, apparently, and New Jersey. And so now we find that you are coming before us at the age of 62 today. We also take note that you had or have, and I'm not sure whether it's have or had in this case, two felony cases pending in the state of Florida. Did you resolve that situation down in Florida already, sir?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
So, but if you can take me back, or take this board back, rather, to 1989 and kind of clarify, I know that what I said might not quite be correct, but what happened in terms of applying for the Social Security number and how we ended up with your being incarcerated in more recent times, sir?
Yes, sir. I went to Social Security office and applied for a Social Security for what I told them was my son, but it was actually me, and I started using it from that point on.
Okay. And why did you put it in why didn't you use your given name, sir, your legal name? Why did you not use that, sir?
Because I took off from Florida for those charges that I had pending, so.
Okay.
And I changed my name, and after that I met my wife, we got married, and we had kids, and I never actually looked back. I just, did my life. I just worked and tried to support my family, and that's
so about it. Why did you leave Florida and come out to Arizona, sir? What brought you to Arizona?
A friend of mine I traveled with, and he loved Arizona, so that's why I came to Arizona with him, and I just never left. So once I got here, I just felt like home, so I stayed.
Now, if I read this correct, and maybe I did not, that it seems, sometime around 2011, that may not be the exact year, but sometime around 2011, you went to the Social Security office, and you was going to correct the date of birth and so forth. Well, why did you why did you go at that time, after all these years, why did you volunteer to go to try to set the record straight? So I appreciate you doing it, and I commend you for
it. I don't know. I just thought it was time for me to try to get that taken care of. I don't know why I did it. It was probably foolish. That's probably what got me here to start with. But now that I'm here, it's, at least I'm getting it over with and behind me. So, but that was, I don't know.
As one board member, I appreciate you doing it, and I think it was I'm just speaking for myself. It was the right thing to do, but it's just, I just found it very interesting after all of these years since 1989 and until recently, you operated under that assumed Social Security number, and then you went to the Social Security office yourself. They didn't find you. You found them and said, well, I want to give you the correct information. I just found that very interesting, sir. We don't find that many people who are that honest, and it's just something that caught my interest, sir. I do take note that, if I'm correct, go ahead, sir. This is your hearing. I'm just...
It's just my Christian outlook. I don't know why. I've been trying to put things right for years, and I don't know if I went about it the right way or not, but I did it. So,
okay. Well, you did the... Well, legally, you did the right thing. Let's just leave it at that. I'll just leave it at that for my purpose. Legally, you did the right thing. And I guess since you spoke yourself, of Christian faith, and I think that that was the right thing to do as well. But I do take note that you do have an 8-year sentence, and based on information that I think I've gleaned, is that you accepted a plea agreement, and that would have been, if you had received a presumptive sentence, it would have been 5 years. The minimum would have been 4 years, and the maximum would have been 10 years, and you did accept that plea, and your actual sentence that you agreed to is just a little above the presumptive, 3 years above the presumptive. But at this time, I'm going to ask other board members, because none of us have had the opportunity to meet and greet you before, because this is your first time coming before the board. I'm going to ask them if they have questions for you at this time. Questions? The Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse has questions for you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Mr. Flanagan, what was the outcome of the charges in Florida? You said they were resolved. What does that mean?
It's running concurrent with this one.
Okay, so there was a conviction and it's just running. Is it probation,
ma'am,
or is it, was there actual prison time?
It's prison time. It's actually prison time. So whatever happens here, I go there.
So
yeah, whatever happens.
Okay, so when you're finished here, what was the length of the sentence you got there?
I'll have another, 2.5 years.
Okay, so as soon as you're done here, you have to go to Florida?
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much for asking that.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason that we were not given the option of home arrest because of that.
Right.
But thanks for raising that.
Okay,
yes, ma'am.
Right.
Put it in context. Okay, any further questions from board members for Mr. Flanagan? I don't see any further questions for you at this time. Board members may have some questions just a little later, sir. But we're coming towards the end of your hearing at this particular time. But this is your hearing, sir. Therefore, we do want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination today. Sir, is there anything else you want to tell the board at this time, sir?
I'm just going to do my best. The only thing I plan on doing when I get through here is going home to my family. So that's the best I can say. I'm not sure what else to say. I didn't think ahead. I should have thought ahead, I guess, about what else to say. But okay. So I guess that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much, Mr. Flanagan. And
okay.
Board members have no further questions. Now the board is going into discussion as it relates to Mr. Flanagan's situation. The board is now in discussion. We're going to ask that Mr. Flanagan would remain quiet, but we are going to ask that he would remain on the phone, because in the state of Arizona, we do operate under the open meeting law, and this will be the first time that this board will have had an opportunity to discuss your case. We have not discussed it at all in the past. Each one of us operate independent of each other. So this is our first time. The board is now going into discussion. This is very interesting case that we have here. I think it's pretty straightforward, unless I missed something, Mr. Flanagan. came to Arizona from the state of Florida, and he here he changed his name and went to the Social Security office over in Glendale and received a Social Security number under his new name, and he has he operated under that number from 1989 until I believe 2011, and then he for whatever reason, which we've talked about, which he's not sure why he did it, but at that point he turned himself in and to the Social Security people and said that I have the wrong number, I've been operating under the wrong name, number, driver's license and everything else over these so many years. I have a family, I have a life is going well, but I did make that decision back in 1989, and now here I am, and based upon an agreed plea agreement, he agreed to serve for 8 years because of this situation. I do commend him for turning himself in. I think that I do. I think that was most appropriate. However, to mislead the authorities for those many years, as well as that he still has something pending in Florida, as has been discussed at this time, maybe 2.5 years, or 2.5 years according to his recollection. At this particular moment, I am not in favor, but I am prepared to listen to other board members. I only speak as one person, and that's not my final, but for discussion purposes, let's see if there are further discussion by board members. Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Sir, I agree with you. I think it's very commendable and almost remarkable. I don't know if I've ever seen someone be in prison and have no discipline. It's one of the very first that I've seen. That's remarkable. He has it appears, has support outside, has the family. He's working on his GED, says he's almost done. But I agree with you, opening that account for the purpose of essentially hiding from the authorities in Florida was not very responsible. If we did parole him, he'd go to Florida and be in prison. So, and since the time's running concurrent, he might as well stay here and continue to serve, be incarcerated here, and that time will go by and he'll be out. So I agree with you that he should not receive community supervision today.
Thank you so very much. Any further discussion by other board members? Hearing no further discussion by other board members, then I'm going to move to deny Mr. Flanagan, ADC number 305052, general parole or absolute discharge, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed. Okay. Seconded. Motion by myself, agreed by other board members, and I am going to, is there any objection to a to a one-year set-off, any objections?
I agree with that, too.
Okay, and the reasons for the now at this time, this is a very interesting one. Okay, violation of parole down in the state of Florida. Okay. Prior to criminal history, again, because of the situation in Florida. I think that he explained, I started to say poor institutional behavior. No, I don't think that's applicable because he's had zero disciplinary infractions. I think he's getting the supervision that he needs. And he's taking programs at this particular moment. He has a release plan to stay with his wife. And he was very professional with the board this morning. And do we have a letter from his wife in the fouls.
I did not see it.
Okay, therefore, for that particular reason, I'm going to put not presented, no family or community support, because the family did not show up today, although they are here, and we take his words that they are, but we did not see them today present. Okay, Mr. Flanagan, you heard what the board has decided, and that is to deny your general parole or absolute discharge, and I gave the reasons for that. Do I need to explain any of those reasons for the denial, sir?
No, sir. I didn't know my wife was able to come here. I know she would have come. Okay. I had no idea. So.
Well, you'll be back in about a year. You'll be certified in about a year. She's welcome to come, and any of them from the community, any other supporters, and if they cannot come, it also can be done by telephone, and if they are unable to come in person, sir. So thank you so very much, and this board will be looking forward to seeing you in and around about a year from then. Thank you so much for your participation today, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Bye-bye.